Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him.
You know, this is election season, election year, and so I want to talk about politics. No, I don't want to talk about politics. Aren't you glad there's not going to be any elections in heaven? You know, I don't think that would work out too well anyway. I don't know what you think, but I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and it said, "Vote for Obi-Wan Kenobi, President 2024. He's our only hope." Thought that was funny. If you've never seen Star Wars, it's totally lost on you. Some people just love their bumper stickers. Anybody here just love bumper stickers? Okay, every once in a while, you know, you read a lot of sarcasm, like, you know, I'll try to be a little nicer if you try to be a little smarter, things like that, you know, not very nice. But some are pretty funny, and here's just a few that I think are gonna come up here on the screen. I think there's a car in there. Here's another one, parenting. If you're not tired, you're doing it wrong. Somebody relate to that over here? Anybody? Some of you are long past that. Yeah, I like that. Those are money bags, stick figures with money back. That's a bumper sticker for no kids. I love it. Adults on board, you know, the baby on board, you remember those? I love that. Sorry for driving so close in front of you. I didn't take that picture. This is one I do not recommend. Do not use that. I don't need Google. My wife knows everything. Here's one that I saw again the other day. Look at that. No fear. I think around late 80s, early 90s, when you first started seeing these bumper stickers. I guess I'm behind and never caught up because I still don't know what that's all about. No fear. Well, good for you. I'm glad. No fear. Right above the others, Mary there, I guess. But no fear. As I began to prepare for this day, the Lord laid it on my heart quite clearly about a topic, okay? This is a topical message and about a topic that He really impressed upon my heart. We have in Pastor Taylor and many of our teachers that teach in our Connect classes, I hope you're part of one, we have some of the greatest teachers. We have Dr. Barker, general editor of the New International Version. Some of you have it in your hand right now. It's so many great teachers, and there's so much we can learn from them, but the greatest teacher that ever was for you today, something you can take with you, the teacher that goes with you, the greatest teacher ever is the fear of God. The greatest teacher in your heart, in your life, and in your mind is the fear of God. So I want you to take inventory today as we talk about this and discover in yourself, hey, do I carry with me the greatest teacher, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord? It's so important that we think about this today. And let's read our text, and then we'll have a prayer. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. Heavenly Father, we come to You today very aware that we often are unholy, very aware that You are great and You are awesome. And Lord, You are the resource for every need that we have. And so, Lord, may we come to You with great reverence and great fear, knowing You're all-powerful and all-holy. Lord, forgive us where we fail to do this. And then because we come to You on bended knee, we ask You that You would teach us from Your word what we need to know. May we humble ourselves in the fear of the Lord. And may we submit ourselves to You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. The fear of the Lord is used more than 300 times in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. And I dare say we don't need another Republican. We don't need another Democrat. We don't need another indictment. We don't need another bad speech. What we need is the fear of God in our nation. And starting with the church, starting with our church family, starting right here at this church, we need the fear of God today, because the fear of God will teach us everything we need to know according to Scripture. And I'm gonna give you some things today that I know from Scripture. The Bible says you will learn by the teacher the fear of God. So the first one that I want to give to you, and based upon that passage of Scripture, Psalm 11, verse 10, arguably the wisest man that ever lived, of course, who wrote Ecclesiastes, arguably the wisest man because he had 800 plus wives. So there's some argument to be had there. But Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says this. These are the words of Solomon, King Solomon. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. The last verse in Ecclesiastes, this is the duty, the fear of God. And so the first thing that you're going to learn from the fear of God is how to start right. You know, it's hard to finish right if you don't start right. You got to start right. Got to start in the right place. That's the starting point. That's the starting line. John Corson said, Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the foundation. The fear of the Lord is the single most important essential. The fear of the Lord is where it all begins. This is everything. So, in contrast, what is a fool? Is a fool that someone that's just not as smart as somebody else? Is a fool somebody that just doesn't have the resources or never got to learn, never got that education? No. A fool is simply somebody who starts in the wrong place. Where did you start? Where did you start? Where are you starting from today? Let's go to a lengthy passage, Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 7, and then we'll move through that chapter. Here's the best definition of a fool, right here. I'll read it quickly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There it is again, same phrase. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we're going to find out what that means specifically. Out in the open, wisdom calls out. She raises her voice in the public square. Okay, now don't make any mistake. This is not necessarily God speaking now. Now we're going to hear from the voice of wisdom herself, okay? This is what wisdom says. On the top of the wall, verse 21, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I will laugh when disaster strikes you. Wisdom will laugh at us. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Remember, this isn't Jesus. This is wisdom. And then here it is in verse 29. Here's why they were so foolish, and here's why they had destruction in their life. Verse 29, since they hated knowledge, how did they hate knowledge? And did not choose to fear the Lord. So whenever you talk about wisdom and understanding and common sense and just smarts, it starts with the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So a fool, quite simply, is a person who doesn't start in the right place and does not fear God. You know, it's never too late to start. You know that, right? Make a decision today. I'm going to I'm going to pause and reflect on the Word of God. What does the Bible say? I need the wisdom that God gives me. And so I fear the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge Him. And that's really what it comes down to each and every step as we go along here. Next one is, the fear of God will teach you to be wise. And this is just in continuance. It will teach you how to be wise. Here's another time the same phrase is mentioned in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of God will teach you understanding and knowledge and wisdom because it helps you understand God Himself. He is wisdom. All wisdom, all knowledge comes from God, every bit of it. How can you be wiser if you will not submit to the wisdom that God would have you believe? James says that anyone that will come to God and ask Him for wisdom, God will grant it. Have you asked God for wisdom in that decision that you have to make this week? Many of you have great decisions to make in the coming days. Have you gone to Him first and asked Him, God, please, You have all wisdom. Give me wisdom. You can read the Proverbs chapter 2, and you'll find out that wisdom and fear of the Lord are synonymous. It's the same thing. Fearing God is simply submitting to the wisdom of God. You see just the opposite all around us. Everybody's doing their own thing. All we like sheep, gone astray, doing our own thing. So many churches today, people expect to know, man, I want to know what the will of God is. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. Or I think this sounds good, that sounds good. But they haven't even opened the Scriptures, God's holy word, and submitted to what they already know is in there. And without God's knowledge, there is no wisdom. There's none. What does the Bible say? My dad always told me that. And I say to you, I ask you the same question. What does Holy Scripture say? That's where wisdom can be found. Nextly, the fear of God will teach you a repentance which can ultimately bring wonderful peace with God. The fear of God will teach you repentance which brings peace with God. There was a burglar just making his way through a house. He knew they were gone. They were on vacation. He knew he had all the time he needed. And he just was throwing stuff in that bag and just having a good, just whistling. And as he went along there throwing the stuff in his bag, he heard, Jesus is watching you. What was that? Of course, his heart started pounding. I hope that wasn't God. But anyway, I'm here. I'm just going to finish the job. He just keeps throwing things in, all the valuables he could find. Pretty soon, Jesus is watching you. This is really strange, but about that time, he notices over in the corner of the dining room, there's a cage, and there's a big old parrot in there. He's like, stinking bird. I'm going to kill it. He goes over and he shakes the cage. Well, you just be quiet. I got work to do. Jesus is watching you. Yeah, I heard you. He throws a couple more things in there, and he pretty much finished this room. I'm going to go into the next room. He pulls the door open, and there's a big old Rottweiler dog looking at him, and that parrot says, get him, Jesus. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Make no mistake, God is love. You know how I know that? You're still breathing. God is love. God is good, yes. But it is a fearful thing, according to Hebrews 10:31, to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus said this about the judgment of God. I say it a lot, and I don't mean to be flippant. God is not a sweetie pie. God is a God of love, but He's a God of judgment. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah, Jesus talked about hell a lot more than He talked about heaven. He sure did. To fear God, however, is to fear nothing else. Do you fear God? Let's go back to Ecclesiastes a little bit here. There's something about human nature, and we all tend to be this way. And Solomon records human nature and how we tend to think. And it's important to understand that just because everything's okay right now and you continue doing what you're doing, even though you know the Holy Spirit would tell you that's not the thing to do, or to make a decision, especially a major decision, without consulting God, that's not wise. And human nature thinks it's going to be okay. But listen, God is always in control. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 11 through 13. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Doesn't that describe us? Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. And he doesn't even mention here what happens hereafter. We all stand before God Almighty. That's a sobering verse. God is a God of judgment, and the fear of God, when I realize that, I first need to become a sinner before I can become a Christian. I need to be afraid of the judgment of God. And we are so unholy. We are so irreverent. We are so flippant about the things of God. But I want to point out another passage of Scripture here. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. So let's pause just a moment. Again, okay, many of you, even today, you've done this, perhaps. But I want you to think about the goodness and the mercy of God. The song we sang a little bit ago, I'm so blessed. We are more than blessed because we enjoy God's mercy, his grace, his patience. You and I, living and breathing, every one of us, whether Christian or non-Christian, we are an example of the mercy of God. That's all we are, because God gives us a chance at life. And then some of us come to a saving knowledge of Christ and receive even greater mercy. But healthy fear can lead to a relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says, "Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended and were so not harmed in any way by us." Here's the verse I want you to see. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. So have you been living in the fear of God? Have you come to that point in your life where you realize I'm a sinner and I stand in God's judgment and I need Jesus Christ? That's so important. Every human needs to come to that place in their life. The next thing, the fear of God will teach us to love God and love people. While we need to be brought to our knees in the fear of God to repent and to do what's right, we need to understand the other side of that coin is the love of God. And understanding what it means to fear God means learning how to love God. Jesus said, "They that love me keep my commandments." To fear God is to love God. That teaches you how to love God. The greatest teacher will teach you truly how to love God. Pausing again and thinking about the mercy of God, thinking about that, and loving him that much more because of how much mercy, how much more mercy can God give to me? Think about it. To love God is to fear God, and to fear God is to love God. 1 John 4:19 reminds us that we only love God. Why? Because he first loved us. That's a fact. Because we reverence and fear God, don't forget this also, because we reverence and fear God and love him, we're going to love what he loves. We're going to love people. That's all kinds of people. Not just the ones we like. We're going to love all kinds of people because Jesus Christ died for every one of them. And we need to learn how to love like he loved. Next thing, fear of God will teach you how to hate some things. Now, I don't want to be a hater, Okay, but there are some things you should hate. There really are. There's a constant, unrelenting push all the time on us in our culture, in our society, all the time, to minimize, to make small what God absolutely hates and what he judges. And it's a dangerous thing if we ourselves begin to think, hey, it's not a big deal. God is love. You know, we're just going to talk about the love of God. Yes, we need the love of God. But man, we need the fear of God and the fear of who he is and what he can do. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Do you hate evil or do you embrace it? Do you practice it? It says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech. So many of the things that we watch, listen, think about this. The things that we watch, the things that we post and repost, the things that we binge watch. Now I'm meddling. I've gone from preaching to meddling. But some of the things that you realize some of those things that come on the TV, they don't, every TV show get around it, the writers that write these things. They don't get around in a circle, hold hands and pray, okay? Let's ask the Lord to honor us as we prepare to write this thing that we're about to write, we'll put in front of these people, because there's families. We care about the families. We want to make sure that it's uplifting and that they draw closer to. No, listen, they don't do that, do they? Just doesn't take 5 minutes on TV to understand. Not a lot of praying going on there. But we need to be careful that we learn to fear God in that we hate certain things. Do you hate certain things? Our kids need to see us. And listen, today we're so desensitized to the evil and the wickedness that's all around us. But are you showing an example to your kids, to your adult kids, that you hate what God hates? Well, here's one. Fear of God should affect the way we vote, by the way. It really should. What makes you vote? How do you vote? Here's the next thing. Fear of God will teach us. These are all connected. Fear of God will then teach us to obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of Jesus' favorite things to do, one of God the Son's favorite things to do in his life, one of his main emphases, and it was actually prophesied in the Old Testament and then recorded in the New Testament. Jesus loved to fear God. He loved it. He loved to fear his heavenly Father. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3 says this, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. We know we're talking about Jesus. The Spirit of the wisdom of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And then he goes further to say, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. God the Son, what did he have to fear? He was deity. He is deity. But he delighted in the fear of his heavenly Father. And if he's not too good to fear God, I need to learn the fear of God in my life. Hebrews 5:7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard. Why was he heard? Because of his reverent submission. Now that's NIV, but most of the other translations say because of his fear of the Lord. Even Jesus had to pray in the fear of God. That's some good advice. So if you were to ask, you ever wear one of those little rubber bracelets that said WWJD? You ever wear one of those? What would Jesus do? I can tell you one thing he'd do. He'd fear God. He feared God. So the fear of God will affect our obedience to God's commands. And it's less about including God and more about following him purposefully. Nextly, the fear of God will teach you how to give. Now again, this is where some of you may want to get up and walk out. Talking about how we give. The fear of God truly will teach us how to give. My wife and I, we were fortunate enough to be both of us raised in Christian homes. And both of our parents taught us to give. That a tithe, it's just without thought. It's just, that belongs to God. Just tithe off your gross. That's what you do. And it's not yours. None of it's yours. You just get to keep 90 if you want it. And so tithes and offerings. But I'd be afraid not to tithe. That's the fear of the Lord. Because nobody can bless like God can bless. And nobody can take away what God can take away. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Psalm 34, verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing." Now, there's a story in Scripture of Jesus, okay? Now, I don't recommend, this is, you know, do what Jesus does, but I don't recommend you do this because he was God the Son. He was the Messiah. There are some things you can't do, obviously, because he is God. But you remember the story about him standing in near the temple door watching people give their money in the offering plate? Don't do that. It's not nice. Hey, what? That's all you're going to give? Bring the plate back here. This guy needs to put some more in here. But Jesus was standing there watching people give their tithes and give their offerings. And that widow woman, that little lady who was just destitute, broke, didn't have anything. Anybody relate to that sometimes? Didn't have anything. She put in 2 pennies, so to speak. And Jesus said, hey guys, talk to the disciples. He said, okay, stop, listen. That one right there, she gave more than everybody else. They're like, what? She gave 2 pennies. What are you talking about? Now, question. That morning when that poor widow got up and ate something, maybe she didn't get to eat that morning, but she went to the temple, she gave her gift. What would have changed in the way that she gave if she had known that was God the Son going to be standing there this coming Sunday? Whoa. Think about that. You know, I just imagine walking in. You know, you see Jesus over there. You know he's the Son of God. Boy, you'd be pulling your pockets empty in there, putting everything in, you know. Make sure he sees it all. Put it in there. It would have changed the way she gave. It would have changed the way everyone that was there that day would have given. But wait a minute. Do you fear God? He's there every Sunday. He's there every day watching you. He's there in the car when he tells you to give to that person. He's there all the time. Whenever you give, whenever you don't give, trust him and fear him and give. Proverbs 15:16 says, better a little with the fear of the Lord, better to be broke with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. And I think sometimes God allows that turmoil because we're not willing to give. The next thing, the fear of the Lord will teach you how to be fearless. Does that make any sense? The fear of the Lord will teach you how to be fearless. Again, this is fearing God means fearing nothing else. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You have some troubles today? Fear God. Trust in him. He can take care of it. It can make you a fearless witness. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11 says this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. You know, the fear of the Lord, the fear of what eternity looks like for the unsaved, that will draw us to a place of fearlessness and being bold in witness. Lord, help us to be bold in our witness. How to be a better witness? Learn to fear God. Learn to fear God in a greater way. The next thing, fear of God will teach you how to grow your faith. Are you plateaued? Have you stopped growing? Has your relationship been stifled? Maybe you need to insert some more fear of God, just being more aware of his presence and honoring and acknowledging him every day. My life verse, which I live by it better than I do, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now there's the fear of the Lord right there. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then he will direct your paths. You want wisdom for this life? how to live, how to make your path straight, how to know what's next. Fear the Lord. Acknowledge him in everything. Understand that he's there in everything you do. I think every college in this nation, can you imagine if every college in this nation, if it were required as a freshman that you come in before you take Bonehead English, you had to take Fear of the Lord 101. How many vote? How many would vote for that? Let's get it going. Let's do that. You teachers, you'd like to see that in the classroom, wouldn't you? The fear of the Lord, the fear of God. And there's some ways that you can teach your kids how to fear God. There's ways that you need to make them always aware of the accountability that we have to God Almighty. There's those of you that have adult children, you can do the same for them. Just because they're not in the house anymore, you can teach them the fear of God by the way you've lived. There's some of us have been studying in the staff Experiencing God by Blackaby. Great study. It's doing so much for us individually and as a staff. But there's a list of questions there, and you can use these on your adult children. And it teaches them the fear of God, and they won't even see it coming. Hey, how can I pray for you, son? How can I pray for you? Do you want to talk about it? What is the biggest need? I'm just wondering, what is the biggest need that you have right now in your life? Ask them that. Get them thinking. They'll start talking. What is the most significant thing happening in your life right now? Get them talking. And then now's when you can start drawing the hook. Then ask this, what do you think God is trying to do? What do you think he's trying to say? There's the fear of God. And what are you learning about yourself through what he might be teaching you? Good way to teach your kids the fear of God. And, you know, once you're a parent, you're always a parent, you know. Many of you have learned that. So in closing, I just want to ask you one question. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? We truly need, desperately need in our country, in our homes, in our churches, we desperately need the fear of God more than anything else. May God convict you and convict me today how desperately we just need to understand who he is and to fear him. So the other day, I was trying so desperately for 30 minutes. Maybe you've tried this recently. Hope you have. For 30 minutes to sit down and where there shouldn't be any distractions and just focus on God, not reading, not doing anything, maybe just the Bible verses that I might remember that God might bring to my attention, but just thinking about who God is and trying to hear from God. That's acknowledging God. That is fearing God. That's what that is. For 30 minutes, man, I tell you, I don't know about you, but my attention span is so short. And it's really, but pretty soon I'm thinking about ice cream and God, no, God, you're good. Okay, what do you, and I have to keep refocusing and pretty soon, yeah, I'm like a squirrel myself, but I look over there and I'm in the park and there's no one there. I mean, there's nothing but nature, me and nature. And I look over there, there's this little squirrel. Oh, look at over there, there's a squirrel. Oh, sorry, God. And I try to focus, you know, and that little squirrel just running around, scampering around, doing what it does. And then I think that must have been a girl squirrel. I'm pretty sure it was. Because then there was another one that started chasing that one around. He's calling me Sherlock. And so chasing that other squirrel around, but I'm telling you what, that girl squirrel was the female version of Barry Sanders. You ever see those squirrels run, trying to play catch each other? I mean, that squirrel, a little bit bigger squirrel, would just get behind that squirrel. You think he was just, I don't know what he was going to do. We don't talk about that. But he'd just get close, and she'd go this way. And he'd be just stunned. He would just stand there and get up on his back, and he'd look over at me like, I thought I was fast. She's gone. He'd chase her some more. She'd go the other way. As I saw that simple illustration, God said to me, "Hey, Greg, that squirrel in the front, that's you. I need the fear of God in my life so that God, I just need to let him catch me. I need to let him catch me." And sometimes isn't that the way we are? And so, Christian, I'm asking you a question. When's the last time that God caught you? And you, out of fear and love and reverence for him, you stopped and you submitted to him. Let me ask you a different kind of question. Christian, what have you done lately because you didn't fear God? What will you do this week because you didn't fear God? That's a sobering question as well, because fearing God is the greatest teacher, and it changes everything about how we live. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, as we come to you, I ask you to help us to fear you and speak to our hearts. And now, you that are here today with your heads bowed, I want to talk just a moment briefly to the sinner, to the one who's come today. Now, we're all sinners, but the one who's here today, that in your heart and in your mind, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you have never acknowledged God the Son, that he died for you, that he rose again, and that you're a sinner and you stand in God's judgment, and you need to submit to Jesus Christ and be saved. Jesus warned us that one day the judgment of God will fall. It's coming. It's going to come. And God has told us through his Son that he can destroy us for all eternity. And that's destruction. But that's not what God wants to do. He wants to save your soul. And if you're here today, you have never submitted yourself to Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you and encourage you. This is why we come here. This is what First Baptist Church at the Fields is all about. And then, if you would, after this service, listen, just make your way down the hall to the Connect Room, to the room that's enclosed in glass down here, and say, "Hey, listen, I want to submit to God and to be saved." He'll save you and forgive you. And when you're fearing God, you fear nothing else. It's a wonderful thing. Dear Jesus, I ask you that you would please break our hearts in fear of you. Lord, even if it means being afraid, so that we'll submit to you and truly have the blessings of God in our life. And we ask you to meet the needs of each and every person that's here today, and may they learn the fear of God so that their lives can be richer and fuller and full of your grace. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.